could get awkward. Wait.
Those are.
Wait, did you?
Sure. This could get.
Oh, I did it wrong already.
No, it sounds stupid.
Are you ready?
This could get awkward.
I think that was perfect. Hey, and welcome to episode 55 of This Could Get Awkward. I'm Janelle.
I'm Sam.
And I wanted to start off this week's episode with a story, again, about my boyfriend. It seems to be like a common thing. I honestly sometimes feel like I'm just sitting here and constantly bitching about him.
I have one for that too, actually. So don't worry about it.
So I had every right to be a little bit upset about this, but it's kind of an interesting conversation on how the whole situation was handled, and it actually resulted in us in getting into not like a horrible fight, but just like a pretty big argument, because we don't argue very often.
Okay.
So where we live right now, where we park our car, is in between our house and the neighbor's house, and it's an extremely narrow alleyway. Mm-hmm. That's just the only place that we have to park. Thankfully, we have a fairly small car. We've had no incidences up until this point. So we don't drive it very often because neither of us need it to go to work or anything like that. But Adam has been doing some training, so he needed the car to leave. And if I'm being honest, I think I've done more backing out of the laneway than he has. So mm-hmm. I have a little bit more experience with it. And normally we would actually flip our mirrors in.
Okay.
Not that it's necessary because we can drive in with the mirrors out, but obviously backing up is way more difficult than driving forward. So to back out, I every single time will flip the mirrors in. It gives you a couple of extra inches on either side of wiggle room. And so needed, because I can't tell you how many times we've gotten like, oh, okay, we're getting too close to that side of the wall. We're going to drive forward. We're going to straighten this out again and figure it out. And so this happened about a week ago. I'm at work and I get a text message from Adam saying, so I hit the car today. And then I sent you some photos. And that's all he said. Like, I hit the car today and here's some photos.
What does he mean he hit the car? Or like, did he hit something with the car?
Yeah, I guess that's, okay. I'm not exactly sure the wording of it, but it was like, you know, I banged the car up today.
Yeah.
And here's some photos. So I'm like, oh, great. And just 2 days before that, I was super pissed off because somebody scratched my car in a parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like a scuff on the side. And so I wasn't happy about that. And then I'm like, great, what happened? How bad is the damage? And so I'm looking at it, and thankfully he didn't rip the mirror off of the car. But there's plastic that's broken on one corner of it. Like, pieces of plastic fell off. The mirror is ever so cracked and like a little bit crumbly in like the one corner
of it.
Definitely still usable. It's more cosmetic damage than it is anything. He said he checked the mirrors and the motors in the mirror to adjust mm-hmm. them for different, you know, people's driving preferences.
Yeah.
He said that those motors worked fine. And so I just thought to myself, okay, great. Like, I just responded, I'm not thrilled, but worse things could happen.
Totally.
You know, just trying not to
be. That's a totally reasonable response.
Yeah. Because it is, I will say, it's personally my car. I purchased it. I own it. I pay the insurance on it. But we use it collectively because we don't need to have two vehicles.
Yeah.
And I'm totally fine with that. But it was a little bit sting because it was like, I bought this with all my money. Even though my car is
old.
Look
what you did to it.
Yeah. And so that happened, and I had asked him, did you forget to put the mirrors in? Because of the way that the damage I had seen, it looked to me like that would have never been able to happen if he had put the mirrors in. And so I asked that question 3 times and never got a response over text message. And so I was home before him from work that day, and he came home. And we kind of just went about our evening for a couple of hours. And I don't know, nothing was said about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually I just kind of got frustrated about it. And we were bickering about something else. And then I was like, and another thing. And I just kind of got really upset about the fact mm-hmm. that, A, he didn't, when in his initial text, there was no, I'm really sorry, you know, I broke
no, like, accountability or, like, apology.
There was no apology initially. And then afterwards, I said, you know, we had a few texts back and forth. And there was eventually some, he did say, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. And I just said, please just, you know, be careful. Take your time. We know that we can get out of there fine. So just take your time kind of thing. And he's like, I know, I'm sorry. And that was all over text message. But so I was pissed off that the first text message didn't have any apology in it. And then secondly, I was pissed off that nothing was said when he came home. And I don't know if I'm out of line in feeling this way, but I just said to him, I was angry because it felt like you didn't care, or like you just said, whatever, here's what happened, but I'm not going to apologize for it originally. Mm-hmm. And then I would have figured that it would have been a conversation that we'd have once he got home and we both went out and took a look at it or anything.
Yeah.
And he just didn't bring it up. And I don't know, I could have brought it up myself too, but I was expecting him to.
Yeah, some initiative.
Yeah. And so his argument was, he said that coming out with it as soon as it happened, sending me photos of the damage and saying, hey, I did this with, you know, before mm-hmm. I just saw it and found out.
Well, yeah.
Was basically his version of an apology. He said that.
What? That's not an apology. That's just human decency and how you should respond.
And I said, yeah, I'm super happy that you told me, and I really appreciate that you sent me photos, but you still
didn't say
sorry.
There's literally no alternative, so you need to also say sorry.
Okay, so you're on the same level.
I feel ya.
Okay.
I feel ya.
It was, yeah, I don't know. We have very different ways of thinking when it comes to certain things. And so something as small as that can tick me off, and he doesn't realize, I guess, that.
I don't think that changes. Because Spencer pisses me off so much sometimes. It's funny because the last episode I was like, he's the best. And he is the best, but he fucking pisses me off so much. And I was talking about something that happened this weekend with a coworker, and she told a story about her and her husband, basically about how he repeats the same pattern every night that she specifically asks him not to do.
Oh no.
And it's without fail. And she's like, and it's been 13 years. Fuck, hey. So you really do just have to be like, at the end of the day, they should still be trying to improve as well. You also kind of have to go, okay, that'll be my life for now on. And so I just have to kind of forgive and accept it a little bit. So speaking of spending an eternity with someone who can drive you nuts, although you love them, we this weekend did like a little bit of wedding planning stuff together. And one of the things we had to do was go over our marriage ceremony. So the things that the commissioner says and the choice of words and themes and that sort of thing, reading it together. And it was like, it's really nice. And there's lots of good stuff in there. And so that was like a lovely thing we did together. And then cut to like a couple hours later that day. And I'm like, you will be needing to make plans where you are not home tonight. He's like, okay, I'll call Richard. And sometimes that's needed for a healthy relationship.
For sure.
Is to just have some space.
Well, because Adam has been unemployed for quite some time. I mean, he's been unemployed, and that's totally fine. And is, you know, working and applying and everything like that to a career that just takes it's a very long process to get.
We've all been there. Jesus.
Yeah. And so since we moved to this new city, I mean, it's been 4 months now. And because of the nature of my job, I get home, I mean, around noon each day. So we have a lot of the day together.
You guys are kind of like a retired couple.
Yeah.
But you're like young.
Mm-hmm. And the beginning, I loved it. And I was like, this is so great. We spent so much time together and I love it. It's wonderful. And then I was thinking, you know, once he does get a job and once he does get this job that he's aspiring to do, there's a very likely chance that he is away. We go from night and day, that he's mm-hmm. in another city and we barely see each other for half a year kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I was trying to, you know, embrace it. I love the fact. And then I was thinking, oh, I'm going to miss this so much. And now that he has started a new job and haven't done some training and has had, you know, hours outside of the house, where I have hours alone in the house. I've actually loved coming home to no one being there.
Hell yeah. It is very, very nice. Mm-hmm. I would like to share an awkward-ish funny story about our marriage commissioner, who I mentioned earlier.
Right, yeah.
So she's very old. She doesn't look that old. For example, when we first met her, she had this binder full of different wedding themes and ceremonies, and when you like braid your hands together, or like a candle lighting, or like sand. Yeah.
Like those binder, are wedding traditions.
Yeah, a binder full of tons of stuff like that, and examples of vows and examples of different phrases and ways of saying things and stuff. But you can tell she's had this binder for the whole time she's been doing this, which is decades. I remember thinking in my head as she handed over this massive binder that we needed to like look through. Poor Spencer's eyes are like drooping. He's like, holy fuck. Wouldn't it be cool if this stuff were available conveniently like on something called online? So that was annoying. So I emailed her just following up on a bunch of details that she had asked for, but I couldn't find her the specific things she needed. So I was just inquiring as to what they were, and thinking she would just forward them to me or copy them over or something. She printed an email, scanned it, and then attached it as an attachment when she emailed me back. What? And I was like, oh my god, you're so old, because that's something that my old coworkers in that tiny town we lived in used to do.
Are you serious? That's so much more work.
So much more work. And then this is my favorite thing that she's done so far. So while I was just naming some files and documents and lists and things that I'm keeping related to our wedding, I've just been labeling them spam. Spencer and Sam. I don't know, it just like made sense as I was labeling them. So I attached one of them, like our the timeline of events and our program and everything for the wedding she needed to see for some reason. I'm not sure why. But anyways, sent it to her, and she emails me back, and she's like, thank you for sending this along. However, I don't think I can open this attachment because it seems to be spam.
Oh my gosh, no.
Dying when I read that, and I told Spencer, and we were laughing, and so I emailed her back, and I was just like, that's actually just how we named that file. It's safe to open, and it's what you need from us or whatever.
As if spam would be labeled spam.
I know, right?
Like, it was so great. If that's what she is using as the bar to not open spam, man.
Maybe that's why she doesn't like computers, because all of her computers are just virus central.
She's the person who is sending money to the prince over in, like, Africa Nigeria. Somewhere.
It's usually Nigeria. Poor little old lady.
What kind of age can you put on her? You don't even know.
I feel like I would say mid to late 70s.
Oh, okay. You would think somebody who's doing this type of thing and regularly conversing in emails with couples would have a better handle and grasp on that.
Spencer was surprised because it's something that she sent to us. It was a draft, and so we were kind of editing it. And Spencer noticed that when we saved our edits, the draft footer automatically updated with the current date. He was like, how could she figure that out? But printed, scanned, and attached an email. I'm excited for you to meet her. So our friend that we refer to as one-third of the troublemakers, our like awesome little group of friends. So on our group message the other day, she was letting us know she had just learned that her pretty recent ex-boyfriend, pretty recent, right?
Like, yeah, I think it was.
Wasn't it Christmas?
Yeah, or just before Christmas. It was like November when she was.
Yeah, it was Remembrance Day. Okay, so her boyfriend of like a couple years, I think.
Yeah, I want to say they were together for around 2 years.
Yeah. Her boyfriend of a couple years and her broke up in November. And I know they're still friendly. They still, like, chat. And they live in different cities, but they keep in touch and seem like they're friends. She just found out. Actually, like, we all just found out. I had no fucking idea.
Yeah, me either. I Facebooked it afterwards. I was like, what?
Yeah, me too. He had a whole new girlfriend that he lives with, and she had no idea, like, he had just never mentioned it, which is kind of, like, is fine, I guess, whatever, but she was just so, I guess I won't be bringing a date to your wedding, Sam. I'm still looking for a date or something, but it doesn't look good.
And because they had agreed to be each other's
They were going
dates,
to,
right?
Yeah, they were going to be dates to our, because they were a couple. So both of them are friends with Spencer and I before they were ever a couple. So they're both invited and we just assumed they'll be together kind of. And neither of them gets a plus one because people aren't getting plus ones unless it's their person that they've been with or that they're serious with or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's just a rule we made to help with our guest list issues. When Leah said, I'm going to try and find a date, but it doesn't look good. I was like, well, you don't have a plus one.
So don't worry about it.
And I was like, for the record, he doesn't either. But then she was like, no, I know. That's what I'm saying is I'll only RSVP for one. I'm not that optimistic or something. And then I was really confused. Is she trying to cover up the fact that she didn't realize she didn't have a plus one? Or am I totally missing something? And then I realized that I'm totally missing something.
No, I don't think it's that you're totally missing anything. It's that she genuinely didn't understand that she doesn't have a plus one. I think what she thought you were saying was that, well, yeah, you don't have a boyfriend. You don't have, like, your...
Well, yeah, like, you don't have a date. So, kind of, as opposed to being like, you're not permitted to bring a date to our wedding. So now it just is kind of hanging there for me as one little naggly wedding thing that I can't fix.
Because you're worried that if she does find someone, there's going to be an extra person at your wedding.
I don't want her to think that she has a plus one, but I don't want to have to tell her she doesn't have a plus one if she knows that, you know? I don't know. I'm totally comfortable telling literally anyone, sorry, you don't have a plus one, here's why. But she is so sensitive. She's someone, you and I were talking on a recent episode about how I'm just like honest and clear the air and like whatever. If you even try to do that with Leah, she like turns off for months. So
yeah, you have to be delicate.
Write it out. Yeah.
The way you word things. And sometimes I find that she can be really great and totally understand it.
Totally.
And get it. So it's hit and miss that, yeah you kind of, you tiptoe around things because you're unsure of how it's going to affect her and react. And you know how it can be so detrimental that you don't want to put her there.
Yeah.
But you're trying to do it in the nicest way possible. And you know she has been fine in the past with certain things, but yeah, tricky line to walk.
Yeah. Tiptoeing was a good way to put it. Mm-hmm. So anyways, we'll just see what happens.
But, I mean... You sent out electronic, it's an electronic
version.
Yeah,
she won't be able to invite a plus, like, she won't be able to RSVP for a plus one.
Yeah, so it should be okay.
Should be fine. We'll see what happens.
And I think the other thing that's in your favor at this point, too, is that it's going to be a destination wedding for her or, you know, like
she still has to travel to get here. Yeah.
So in order to find somebody to do that with you as well is, you know, it's one thing to be like, hey, do you want to come to my friend's wedding? It's down the road or, you know, it's like in the city. And it's a whole other thing to be like, hey, can you take a weekend trip with me to go to this other city that's miles away?
Here's my worst case scenario that I can possibly imagine out of this miscommunication. Is she comes here, like travels here for it, feels she doesn't want to go alone, especially say if her ex is going to be there, something like that. Finds a guy on Tinder and brings him to my wedding, gets smashed. Ruins everything, breaks stuff, pukes, and then leaves.
Oh my god, don't go there. It's not gonna be that bad.
No, I'm sure it won't be. As I said, that is the worst case scenario that I could possibly imagine. Mm-hmm.
And you should stop imagining that case scenario.
Because what I'm trying to learn lately and to remember is that you should just give people the benefit of the doubt, maybe. Because more often than not, they're gonna not be terrible people. It's just that some people make me nervous because sometimes they can do like really like...
Yeah. So maybe we could ask, does anybody have any advice? Do you just flat out tell Leah and make sure right now that she knows? Don't even try?
I think we just see what happens. But yeah, please give me advice. I don't know what to do.
Okay. Well, send it our way. And you can do so by checking us out on our Twitter account, which is at TCGA Podcast. Facebook is This Could Get Awkward, or you can email us, thisculdgetawkward@gmail.com. No, wait.
It's, nope. Yeah. This Could Get Awkward podcast@gmail.com.
But nobody ever emails us. So. It's a big deal.
We should just fucking delete that account at this point. Come on, people.
All right. Well, we'll chat with you next week.
We should give it to my marriage commissioner. She can email us.
She can email us printed copies of emails that have been scanned to be forwarded and made an attachment.
God damn it. All right. It's probably, if you're listening to this the day it comes out, happy Easter.
Yes. Happy Easter. Nothing Easter related. Sort of thing.
Hey, now we're ending it for the eighth time, but I have a fact about, did you know how they determine when Easter falls?
Yeah, I forget.
Your answer is no. Oh, okay. What do you think it is?
No, I forget, because it's always like 40 days after Lent starts, right? But I don't know how they figure when false. Lent starts.
Or maybe it's true, but what is definitely true is that it is the first Sunday after the first full moon after the spring equinox.
That is fucked. No wonder it's on, like, sometimes it's in March and sometimes it's at the end of April. Like, what the hell?
Yeah. So happy Easter.
Bye.
Bye.